Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, I said it for a young woman that I met in Atlanta last weekend. She said it makes her day every time she hears that. So we're back and we're black and brown. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Mandy.
And this is
Brown Ambition. Happy hump day.
Yes. I'm super excited because we have an interview, and honestly, they're like the cutest couple in the world.
So I was Instagram stalking, as I do, and I came across a story of this phenomenal couple from my hometown, Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, it's an Atlanta. It's just an Atlanta-themed episode today. Mm-hmm. Tiffany was in Atlanta this weekend without me, but it's fine. And this couple, their names are Leo and Faith, and they are 27 years old and 30 years old, just married last year. And they decided to spend their first year tackling $100,000 worth of debt. In 12 months. You know, no big deal. But I saw their story on Instagram because they had just celebrated paying off $100,000 of debt. But what really struck me was that they were like, oh, we're not done yet. We have another $100,000 to pay off next year. But they look so happy and joyous. And I reached out to them and I asked if they would come on the show and just share their story of how they managed to pay off so much debt in so little time being so young. And I love their interview. I think that they are really inspiring. I mean, you and I both talk about the issues we had early on in our relationships, getting on the same page with our significant others. Like to tackle something like that, like if you're not going to be a team about it, it's never going to work. And I know that we've got questions from listeners over the years now we've been doing this podcast asking, you know, what do you do if your spouse isn't on board, not on the same money page and whatnot? And I think Leo and Faith's story is just proof of first how to solve that issue and then how to tackle your debt together as a team.
It's just a great, great lesson that you guys are going to learn today, because it's not easy when it's one thing to make your own financial decisions and goals and choices. It's another when you have to, this is not a boyfriend or whatever, like you must consider someone else's feelings when you're tackling your financial goals and theirs as well. So this past weekend was really amazing, Mandra, because I went to Atlanta, your old stomping grounds.
Yeah, without me, whatever, it's fine.
So Blavity had this, Blavity and 2190 had this conference called Summit 21. It was really geared toward women of color who, it seemed like entrepreneurial women of color. That's what I would say, but not everybody wanted to be an entrepreneur. Some people just came for like inspiration, and but I feel like most people did. And there was about 1200 plus women there. And we actually had Morgan as a guest on the show, the founder of Blavity.
Yeah, she's been on twice. Mm-hmm. Morgan Debon. I think the last time we had her on, she had just launched 2190, like the lifestyle and health, mental health kind of vertical, right?
Yes. And what was so great about it is that with it was like three tracks. It was the beauty track, there was an impact track, and there was a money track. So I was there to do the money track. But Mandy, let me tell you, so many of the wonderful, amazing women that attended were like, oh, I love your podcast. So many of them said hi. Two hugs for me. One for me. So I owe you like 15 hugs.
Oh, that's awesome. Atlanta always shows up for us, I feel like.
Yes. They were just so excited. And honestly, it was the weekend that I needed, because I've been in like a meh mood like the last couple of weeks. Nothing's happened. You know, you just get like, haven't been as inspired. Because sometimes right now there's no major projects or whatever. Sometimes the work can be like redundant. You know what I do? Like management, like, oh, let me call this team member and this team member. But I got to teach. And so I did a 30-minute kind of like talk. And then afterwards, so many women had questions. I spent 2 hours in the hallway, like answering questions, and then a group form. Then before you know it, we had second class in the hallway. And I realized, like, you know what? It was the pick me up that I needed. And I think I'm going to do that once a month, someplace free in Newark, and just be like, hey, guys, meet me here, because I don't often get a chance. Like, my business teaches, but I realize me as Tiffany, I don't often get a chance to teach in person. And so it was just wonderful. And just want to shout out all the women who are listening, who are there. Thank you for just showing me and Mandy some love.
Yeah, it must be nice to get back in your element, because it's like you set up the business so well, like to the point where you it's kind of like it's become its own massive success. And you, yeah, I can see how you're not obviously doing like free financial planning sessions or financial coaching sessions anymore.
Yeah. And honestly, because I really don't have time to do like one-on-ones, but I'm realizing like I really love teaching. And it wasn't until like Morgan even came up to me when I was in the hallway. She's like, you're still here? And I was like, what time is it? She's like, it's 4. I ended at 2. And I thought, okay, Tiffany, you really miss like the interaction with people and teaching. So yeah, I'm excited about that. But yeah, it was just honestly, it was wonderful. Morgan did an amazing job. It was organized. The speakers were great. The women were great. Because sometimes you go to conferences and you see people there like, you know, that wasn't that great, or I didn't like this. The food was great. They had vegetarian, they had vegan, they had chicken, they had, it was so well done. And so yeah, Blavity, well done. Well done, Morgan.
Awesome. I'm so proud of her. And didn't they get acquired or something major happened with them recently? They're doing so well.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe they did, but I hadn't heard that though. But maybe. What about you? How was your weekend?
I already forgot what I did this weekend. Oh, speaking of feel good vibes, we actually did my company does like a quarterly service project. But this quarter we actually did it was an opportunity to do something actually out in the community. And I got a chance to partner with my really good friend, and his name is Brian. He started a nonprofit called Break a Difference a few years ago. And Break a Difference basically organizes these volunteer groups through corporations. Like if your corporation wants to get a bunch of your employees together for a service project, Break a Difference organizes it. But they also do like week-long breaks, like spring break or winter break for college kids and high school kids, which is how I met this friend, Brian. Like we met each other right after Katrina in 2006. We volunteered. We did a spring break in Biloxi, Mississippi. And we just spent the week like living in tents and helping these devastated communities rebuild. And that's where our bond started. So cut to 12 years later, now he runs this nonprofit and he got to help us organize our day of service. And we ended up spending, the whole Magnify Money team went to Queens, to Long Island City, Queens, or sorry, Astoria, Queens. And we helped build garden beds and shovel compost and pull weeds at this really cute community garden called Two Coves, which I lived in Astoria for like 6 years and I had never been to Two Coves Community Garden. And it was amazing. You know, the woman there, Vanessa, who started it like a couple decades ago, was talking about basically it was a part of Astoria that had a lot of low income housing and a lot of crime. And people were like dumping on this site. They were dumping trash, but she said they dumped mattresses, boats, like beyond just normal trash. And eventually members of the community got together and said, that's enough. And they applied to be able to convert it into this community space. And now it's just gorgeous garden, and like people, you can apply to have a little plot. And I love Queens so much because you just will not find a more diverse place in America. Like, I mean, there was like people of all walks of life, faith, colors, creeds, just their gardening. Just like tending to their squash and their flowers and their whatever. And we were, you know, so my team was like building little garden beds for each little plot. And it was one of those days where you need to get out of the office. And it's so mm-hmm. nice to just like, first of all, it's nice to talk to people I work with, because this has been a crazy year and we haven't, you know, we just are always grinding. And to get us out of the office in the sunshine, like knee deep in dirt, in like earthworms and bugs. it was so nice. Like, and it reminded me of that same feeling I had when I was 18, when I first met Brian doing that outreach. And now I'm thinking, I feel like we both had similar moments then. I'm thinking I need to go back to doing more community service projects because I've gotten in this mode where I do my monthly donations to different organizations that I support, but I'm not actually like doing anything or, you know, out in the community and, or, you know, helping people with my own two hands. And there was something really, I mean, at the end of the, after the end of the day like that, when you're just so tired and we were so dirty and gross, but then you have Vanessa who founded Two Coves, like she gave this really impromptu little speech about how special it was that we were there. And it's just, oh, so many like feel good, you know, so many emotions, and everyone just left with a huge smile on their face. And I mean, yeah, we missed on a day of work and we're catching up now, but it was worth it 100 times.
It sounds like it, honestly. I just love that. That like nothing like outside and giving back. That was the, to me, you know, it's so crazy because you're right. We had similar weekends because to me, the theme for the weekend for me was like service, you know? Like, I realized that, like, when's the last time you've been of service? Because it's easy for me to get lazy and say, my business is of service, you know? But I'm like, no, that's cute. But you, Tiffany, when's the last time you've been of service? And it's been a long time. And so it was like, you know, being of service just feeds your soul. And so look at us, twins.
I might have to find something in my new neighborhood to do. I don't know. Help an old lady cross the street. I don't know.
Something, right?
Yeah. Meanwhile, in America, did you see the story about, I love this story so much. So Oprah and Meghan Markle's mom are supposedly best friends, apparently, people were saying. What? You know, Meghan Markle, you know, of course, now the princess, what is she, like a queen or a princess?
No, Duchess.
Duchess, Prince Harry's new wife. Anyway, so her mom, of like the beautiful images of her mom at the royal wedding, you know, she was sitting by herself to the side, a black woman, and, you know, this famous church watching the first black duchess ever marry the prince. It was amazing. But Oprah was at the wedding, and apparently they were photographed, like Meghan Markle's mom leaving Oprah's house with all these packages and gifts and stuff. So, and people were saying that Oprah was trying to bribe her to get the first interview with Harry and Meghan. Meanwhile, do you know Oprah? Like, she doesn't bribe. Yes. But Oprah set the record straight. And it turns out what happened was she invited her mom over. I think her name is Doria, over to her house just to talk. And she had asked her to bring a yoga mat because her mom is a yoga teacher, just in case, as you do, you decide to do some yoga with Oprah. But then they had a delicious kumquat. Like, they had a kumquat dessert or something, and Oprah was like, oh yeah, I have a kumquat tree, you like kumquats, here's an entire basket of kumquats.
I can't.
And sent her out the door, and she's like, I'm not bribing her, they were kumquats people.
I know. What, first of all, I don't care what, I'm like Oprah, I mean, I, you know, you could give me a bath rug and I'm taking it home and I'm framing it like, I got a Oprah bath rug. But you know, people are always trying to look for like the bad and the good, but I want them to be BFFs because I think Meghan, I mean, I don't know obviously her mom, but she just seems like so poised and just like a lovely woman. And I think Oprah would make a great BFF.
Yes. Did you know there's also, you were the one, did you tell me about the Making Oprah podcast?
Oh, yes.
I way back when? Did you hear that they're doing the Making Obama one about Michelle?
Really?
Yes. I'm going to need to go download that.
Yeah. It's not, so it's not up yet.
I think it is up. I think they have a few episodes up. I just saw it on like some podcast list. Meanwhile, please listen to Brown Ambition, but when you're done, go check out Making Oprah was so good. It told the story of how she became Oprah. And this is going to like feed my appetite until the Becoming Michelle book comes out.
Yes. That would be, I wonder if it's Making Oprah or Becoming Oprah, but I don't remember either way, but it was a really good, the woman who did the work, the journalistic work on it, just did a really good job and somehow also convinced Oprah to come on, which was amazing. Yeah. But to really capture her story from beginning, as far as a professional story, I mean, from beginning to kind of like the end of the Oprah show, it was just excellent, like just so well done. So I'm assuming that Michelle's will be all equally as amazing. I'd love that. Cause
live correction on the air. It's Making Obama. It's Barack Obama. All right. Interesting.
Okay.
Well, why am I less interested? I mean, he was a president. I thought it was going to be Michelle.
We all just love Michelle. I remember even like President Obama said that he was like, I mean, you know, you guys are just here for Michelle anyway. And we're like, we are. I mean, you're cool too, Barry. You know,
but like I've read his books. I know enough about him. It's Michelle who I want more about. Like, ugh. Anyway, it's fine. It'll be great. But yeah, it was called Making Oprah by WBEZ Chicago. Making Obama, and they have 6 episodes up. So binge it one binges later.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
You guys, I don't know about y'all. Tiff and I both got married this last year, but I can't even imagine what it would be like if I got married and then we sat down one day, did some calculations, and realized we had close to $200,000 of debt. But I wanted to bring on this week's guest to the show, Faith and Leo from Atlanta, because I came across them on Instagram and their story was so inspiring. This actually happened to them. They're a young couple from my home state of Georgia. and they got married and had their whole lives ahead of them. But when they sat down and really did the math, they realized, holy crap, we actually have 6 figures worth of debt. Now, what they didn't do was put their heads in the sand and freak out and say, you know, this is impossible. We can't achieve this. They sat down and said, okay, how are we going to make this happen? They took on extra jobs. They completely changed their lifestyle. And they managed to pay off over $100,000 in the last year alone.
That's crazy.
Amazing. So I saw them on Instagram, totally random. I never slide into anyone's DMs. I don't really know what that means. Like, is that creepy? But I slid into Leo's DMs and I said, you guys, I want to have you and your wife Faith on the podcast, because I think people need to hear a story like this, because sadly, they're not necessarily unusual, right? Like 6 figures of debt, 20-somethings, you know, 2 millennials getting married today. Like, we all have debt, tons of student debt. And it's not like they did anything wrong. But what I find really inspiring is that they made a plan to actually tackle it and is clearly working. So Faith and Leo, thank you for coming on Brown Ambition.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
How did you do this? How did you, take us back to when you guys first met, when you got married, and when was it that you realized you were sitting on 200-something thousand dollars worth of debt?
Yes, it was approximately $211,000. And we met in 2014. I moved from Boston for a job here in Atlanta, and Faith moved here for school. She went to Emory University, and a friend of mine invited me to a small, to a young adult service at his church. And so I went to that service on a Wednesday night, and my friend wasn't there. He didn't show up, but I went anyways. And lo and behold, they were having small groups, and Faith and I happened to live in the same city and ended up being in the same small group. So she couldn't take her eyes off of me, and the rest is history.
She didn't know about that. She didn't know about that debt yet, though.
No. In her mind, she was like, I don't know about hers. So.
And y'all are newlyweds. So, it's only been a year. Did you guys know about the debt before you got married?
Yes, we sure did. We had premarital counseling with our pastors a few months before we got married, and we were forced to talk about everything, including our finances. So when we sat down with them, one of the sessions that we had was about our purpose and what was the purpose of our marriage. Why are you two together? What is it that you guys want to accomplish? So one of the things that we wanted to do as a family was be a family that gave, and not only financially, but our time. And the biggest thing standing in our way was our debt. So we decided to look in our accounts and total all of our debt up to see what we were up against. And there was the $200,000.
Who was leading the charge as far as having the most amount of debt?
Me. I, of course, was. So I went to private school.
I knew when I heard Emory, you were in trouble.
Yes. So I got both of my undergrad degrees from private school, and I also got my graduate degree from private school too. And I just thought it was normal to call Sallie Mae. And I took out an excessive amount of student loans. I didn't apply for any scholarships. I was just like, well, Sallie Mae is just going to get me through Emory and all of my schooling. So I was the one that brought in all the debt.
Okay. I mean, you had some help.
Don't
take full credit. And now you're a nurse practitioner, and Leo, you are an occupational therapist. When was it that you realized, okay, if we really want to tackle this debt, we need to take on extra work?
Right away. There was no way we would be able to pay off all of our debt within a reasonable amount of time if we did not pick up extra jobs. So I started doing the extra working first because Faith was still in school when we started dating and courting. So I worked on the weekends, worked on pretty much practically every Saturday. So I was doing 6 days a week for as long as I can remember, still doing it now. So when Faith graduated and started working, she continued her part-time job from her master's program while starting her full-time job. So we just said, this might have to be our life for the next couple of years so we can really attack our debt.
I was just going to say, was this a plan that you guys created before you got married, or did you kind of wait until after?
It was a plan to pay off our debt, but we did not anticipate that it would be to
this extent.
Yeah, to this extent and as intense as we have been going this past year. I think once the ball started rolling, and we saw how much ground we were making, then we decided to just put our foot on the pedal a little bit more each month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you get to $100,000 in a year? Walk me through that. I mean, that's what, 12 months in a year, 75, carry the one. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Every month. I mean, that's thousands of dollars you guys were saving each month. So, I mean, were you reducing your expenses? How much were you bringing in those extra jobs? I mean, I feel like you guys must never have even seen each other if you're working that much.
Yeah. So, I mean, we reduced pretty much all of our extra expenses. And so every single month we had a budget meeting and we listed out, you know, what we had planned for the month. And what else did we do? We carpool to work. So we both work in South Atlanta. So instead of taking two cars to our job, we carpool, which saves us on gas and also miles on another car. And we rarely eat out as well. So I'm packing all of the lunches. I am making dinner every week. Like, we're rarely eating out. And that is what helped us save a lot of extra money, because if you think about it, if you're constantly eating out, you know, even if you get a meal that's like $5, after a while it begins to add up, and we realized that we were saving so much money by packing our lunches, by making dinner, and also carpooling.
Yeah, and we also don't have cable, so we have an antenna that we bought from Walmart so we can pick up the local channels. We have our Fire Stick. I still, till this date, have the iPhone 5S, and I know they no longer make that at Apple.
It's vintage.
Yeah, so my phone bill is literally less than $300 a year because I'm on a family plan with a bunch of cousins of mine. So any little wiggle room that we could, we found, and extra money would go straight towards Sallie Mae and Fed Loan Servicing and Great Lakes.
You should walk them through our weekend times of, like, with working so that they can get it.
So Faith and I would go to work on Friday. Friday afternoon, I would leave my full-time job and go to my part-time job for about 3.5 to 4 hours. Faith would be home sleeping. When I get back, Faith would be waking up to go to her overnight nursing job, and I would go to sleep. In the morning, I would be waking up, and Faith would be coming back in, and I would be leaving to go to my part-time job on Saturday morning. And we did that for the past, I don't know, 6 or 7 months as we got really intense. So it would literally be like, hey.
Oh, hey, see you later.
Give a kiss and yep, see you in a little bit.
Yeah, but it was worth it though. I mean, we have a poster that we have been tracking how much debt we've paid off. And even though we spent like a few months of our life not really seeing each other, it's been really worth it to see how much debt we were able to pay off with a lot of discipline, a lot of self-control, and just delayed gratification. We were able to do all of that.
How did you prioritize the debts too? Because you don't have just student loan debts. You have some credit card debt. I think you said you had a home improvement loan. Like a lot of people, you have different, you know, piles here and there. How did you prioritize them?
The credit cards were from wedding expenses. So we got rid of those fairly early. It started with me a month before we got married attacking those. So we prioritized that. And then we transitioned to the loans that were under my name, which were my student loans, because Faith was able to qualify for a loan repayment. So we were like, oh, let's just try to get rid of my loans because we don't have that option for me. So
what do you mean loan repayment?
So she has the option, and we haven't done this yet, but she has the option at the end of, I think at the end of next year, where she can apply for loan repayment through her job in exchange for 2 years of service to continue working in an underserved population.
So, I see.
Yeah. So she has that as a nurse practitioner, whereas I don't have any of those options as an occupational therapist. So we decided to attack mine first.
Okay. That right. Was smart.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize. I was going to ask when you said you were a nurse, because nurses, I think doctors, even teachers, there are these loan repayment assistance programs you can look into. So that's excellent that you found that. How much are you able to get forgiven or repaid through that program once you apply?
So for an exchange of 2 years of as working as a nurse, they could give you up to $50,000.
Wow.
Which is fantastic.
Yes. And we were speaking to our financial advisor, and we have the option to have, I guess, the government or these loan repayment programs pay off the remainder of our loans. But it would take us 6 years to do that because, you know, 50,000 and then I think it's 50,000 for the first 2 years and then it goes 20,000 for the next 2 years and then 10. So we have the option to do the loan repayment, but we don't want to be in debt that long.
No, we're just ready to be done.
Yeah.
So you do have just some debt left that you're still paying off?
Yes, I have over $100,000 left.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
So we're okay. Halfway there.
I was going to say, so what's your timeline? What do you think, how long do you think before you knock it out totally?
We're hoping by the end of 2019 that we would be done. And that is if we apply for the loan repayment. So okay. Faith would just have to be at her job for another 2 years starting next year.
Okay. Wow. You guys are goals as far as like working together. So, you know, that's my question because people ask me this. How do you get on the same page financially with your partner? How were you able to do so? Was there somebody that took a little longer to get on the same financial page, or was it something that, you know, it was easy for you guys to come to a consensus?
So Leah, it wasn't easy for me to come to an agreement with this. So Leo is the one that is very determined. He gets a goal and he just runs after it. Me, on the other hand, I am not like that. And so when I saw how much debt we were in, it just to me seemed impossible for us to get out of. So I struggled with that. But then I think that the thing that helped me in that process is realizing that this is just a temporary season. Like this isn't going to last forever. So let's just sacrifice right now so that for the next, I don't know, maybe 50 years of our life, God willing, we can live that debt free. So this is just a season. And so we just have to sacrifice and do everything that we can right now to get out of it.
Yeah, and for our conversations that we had, you know, we would dream about what we wanted life to be like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 3 years from now. And that helped us, you know, sacrifice the now for what we wanted in the future. And we knew what it was like to sacrifice in order to go to school. So we had already experienced life in some capacity. So, hey, why not do it for a bigger goal? Why not do it for our family? Why not do it for generations after us? So that's what really kept us motivated once we knew what our why was. So
I love that. That was smart. You guys are, honestly, you guys are really, really inspiring. And I love that that teacher dreaming helped you get on board faith, because it is hard sometimes for people to, because it's hard. You feel like you work hard and you don't want to sacrifice your life away. But when you realize it's not really an eternal sacrifice, it's just a temporary one.
Right. Definitely. And that's what helped me be able to get through it. And then also having the visual helped me as well that we created.
Yeah. So we started off doing the, we started off by doing the highest interest rate because mathematically that made the most sense. But faith wasn't really a fan because most of our high interest rate debt was the highest amount. And it would take us forever to pay those off. But once we switched to the debt snowball, she was a lot more forgiving and on board when she was able to see us cross off, you know, one or two loans every month.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's why studies show the snowball works, because it's all about that like motivational, like the psychological impact of little small. It's like when you, whenever I took a test in school, I always put my name on the paper first. Cause I was like, well, I did that right. And then I'll move on to the to the hard stuff. I think it's, I mean, it's really smart just to, I mean, it also helps establish the rhythm and the habits so that by the time you get to the bigger debts, you guys are like, oh, we know how to do this. It's just a little bit more than what we were doing before.
Yeah.
What does the future look like for you guys? I mean, I think a lot of millennials today, I'm sorry for saying millennials, I know, but people in their 20s and early 30s who are in your shoes, right? So much debt, it can feel impossible. It can feel like a pipe dream, just even small things like starting a family or, you know, buying a house someday. Talk about how your goals feel to you now when you know you also have this, you know, other $100,000 hurdle in front of you coming up.
So even though we still have the $100,000 left, to know and to reflect back on the past year, like when you really think about it, this year flew by and we were able to pay off $104,000 in 12 months. And so even though we still have the next 12 months or the next $100,000 left, like it seems extremely doable to us. And I mean, our plans are, we plan to start a family soon. In the near future would be really nice. What else do we plan on doing? Just vacationing. We're going to Costa Rica, enjoying restaurants in Atlanta, and spending more time with our friends. So we're just really looking forward to the time that happens when we're debt-free.
Yeah. And, you know, we love to share our story because, like you said, many people don't think it's possible to pay off debt and that being in debt is normal. And I don't know anyone who is okay with paying double or triple what they bought or purchased. And that's what we do when we stay in debt all of our lives. Like we're paying triple the price or the value of our product. So we just want to encourage folks to, you know, list their debt, see what it is that they owe and create a plan. It doesn't have to be 12 months. It could be 5 years. But if you have a plan, that's a start. So, you know, I think about, you know, our parents are in their late 50s, early 60s, and we want to be in a position that, hey, if they weren't able to take care of themselves, at least we've made the decision to be in a better financial state in order to take care of them. We want to be able to say more yeses to our children than noes, just because we can't support them financially. So that's what drives me, and that's what keeps me going, and that's what we're looking forward to in the future.
Were there any moments this year when you guys kind of hit the wall? And looking ahead to next year, will you go at it as hard as you've been going at it now? Because I know when you and I spoke before, you had talked about, you know, getting, I mean, it can be really, really draining, this keeping pace like this, and it can start to take a toll, you know, on you individually, together as a couple. Are there any lessons you've learned this year that you might do things a little bit differently with your approach coming up this year?
So I'm really tired.
Fair enough.
Has been very tiring. So I think that even though we spent a lot of our time not seeing each other, the thing that helped in our relationship was constant communication with one another. And I felt like we grew in our relationship because it's almost like we were forced to communicate. We had to see how each other was doing. And that is what helped us get through it, realizing that I had a teammate, someone that was there wanting to accomplish the same goal as me, helped so much. And then looking to next year, I personally don't think I can continue as much as I've been doing right now. Like, I'm tired. So I'm getting a break right now. And then hopefully we're going to start back up again pretty soon. Pretty soon.
When you say break, do you mean taking on less work?
Definitely less work. So I'm still, of course, doing my full-time job. Okay. And I'm still doing some overnight shifts, but definitely not as much as I was doing before, because I was literally doing like my full-time job along with like 5 to 6 overnight shifts each week. And so now I'm probably doing maybe about 1 overnight shift a week, which is a drastic change.
Well, I think a lot of people listening might say, okay, I'm in a similar position. Where do I start? Where would you suggest, like, if they're with someone and they're married now and they're just like, okay, we both want to admit that we're really in debt and we're not sure, what's the first step? What should we do?
I would tell them to dream together.
Okay.
I think going straight to the numbers may not be the best way for some people. So talking about where you want to be in the next 3-5 years, what do you want your life to look like? And then once you guys come up with a common goal, write down how much you owe, visually seeing the amount of debt that you owe, what your lending institutions are, what your interest rates are. I mean, the government is hiking up the interest rate quarterly, it seems. So writing down all of that information and having a visual and creating a budget that lists your income and your expenses and seeing where you can reduce some expenses, either by cutting something off completely or just, you know, switching from a Planet, switching to a Planet Fitness membership instead of LA Fitness.
So. Yes. Come through playing with that $9.99 plan. That's the plan I'm on.
That's it.
Yeah. That's awesome advice. Thank you guys so much. This has been so, like, I mean, I wish I would have, when I first met Superman, that's my nickname for my husband. But now he's on board. But in the beginning, oh boy, it was like, everybody's not a budgetista.
Maybe. You know? And so, but did you give him your book?
Yeah, what he was not impressed. But what but what did help, to your, you know, to your point, Leo and Faith, is that when we started talking about the life that we wanted, and we wanted to buy a home and some other things, so once he saw that, you know, that what we were working toward was going to make that happen, especially when we started home shopping, then he was like, okay, I totally get it. And now that we have a house, he's so excited, and we're closing on a second one for investment purposes. And now that's why.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's why when I said, what do you want to do for our honeymoon? You know, do you want to go on vacation or whatever? That's why he was so quick to say, no, I'm honestly, I'm fine, because now he's fully on board because he can see the fruits of our labor.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's it. And I don't, you know, aside from, you know, buying an investment property cash and receiving all of the rent to your pocket, I don't know anything in our case that would have put, you know, $1,100+ back in our pockets from paying off our $100,000 of debt in the last 12 months. So when we look at how much was coming out of our pockets and going straight to those lending institutions, it gives me that much more motivation to be like, hey, we can have $2,500 a month remaining in our pockets if we got rid of all of our debt. So we're just super excited.
Well, thank you all so much for coming on the show. We'll be following your journey. Tell us, everyone, if you're going to be sharing your journey on Instagram, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Awesome. What are your Instagram handles so the folks can follow you if they want to follow?
Leo, what's yours?
Mine is Leo. That's LEOJ.L.
And mine is Faith_Jasmine, which is JASMINE and the number 5.
You guys are too cute. I wish you both the best.
Thank you.
Newlywed goals. I mean, go for a nice dinner for your anniversary coming up, right?
Yes, this June? Actually are. I sent Faith the menu, and we're going to a place that has $60 steaks. Faith
yes.
I am not on board with that. Like, $60 for a steak?
No, just this one time, Faith. It's your 1 year. No. Just this one time. Live it up, Faith. Just this one time. Right. It's okay.
Just one time.
I give you Budgetista permission. Thank you. Wow, that honestly was such a great interview. I feel like that even if you're not married, there's just so many great takeaways of what you can learn from both Faith and Leo. As my biggest takeaway was that before you do like the tangible work, to really work on the emotional and mental work by just dreaming about what life could be like, and that's what's going to motivate you. What about you, Mandy? What'd you take away?
I love that they did premarital counseling, and they did it through their church, which is really smart. Husband and I did premarital counseling too. I just Googled family therapists, premarital counselors in my city with my zip code and just found, you know, a highly rated one. And we did that for, I think we had maybe 4 or 5 sessions with our therapist before we got married, which was helpful. It helped us just get in the right headspace. We didn't have as huge of a financial burden, but just like the act of sitting down with an objective person and talking about how you are as a couple and reminding yourselves that it's really about the two of you is helpful. So I love that they did that as a couple, because otherwise it didn't sound like Faith was going to be too quick to want to talk about her debt. So I wonder if they hadn't done that, how they would have, you know, we get that question a lot. How do I, you know, get my spouse on board paying off debt? And sometimes it's hard for you to do it, right?
Yeah.
Like it was hard for me to get my husband to tell me his credit score or, you know, talk to me about his finances in the beginning. But once we had like an objective third party person, he and I did this long before we got engaged, did this like couples and finance 1 hour class that was, I don't know, like $20 or something. And that was a start for us. It was a huge breakthrough because it was someone, but that wasn't me, that wasn't so close to him, to us, you know, asking those types of questions. And that helped break the ice and release that tension.
Well, that's good. I mean, we didn't do premarital counseling, but that would have been helpful. Honestly, it wasn't. Like, I will say though, we were together for a while, but we didn't have a huge, like, as it relates to personal finance, because by the time we got married, we'd worked through a lot of like the financial differences we had. Thank goodness Superman didn't have any debt. That made it super easy, quite honestly. It was just some habits that I thought, like, you know, we could do better as it relates to this, but he didn't have, like, you know, there was no credit card debt, there was no student loan debt, there was no mortgage, there was nothing. It was just like, babe, that's probably not the best way to go about that kind of thing. But now we're on the same track. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. To me, it was really inspiring. And I hope the biggest thing you took away was service. And that if you can dream it, you can do it.
If you can dream. Okay, R. Kelly. Yeah. Oh, no, we should take back that song, though. Can we just take back that song without giving him any kind of royalties?
I don't think so. I mean, it's such a shame because it is a great song, but he is the most terrible human being on the face of the earth.
The worst.
Yeah.
Well, let's end on that note. That's cool. Yeah. I like to bring it back to sexual predators at the end of every show.
Yo, if that is not so bright a bitch, we'll have such a lovely time. We're like, oh, yeah, let's bring some terribleness up. Anyway, all right, Mandra, until next week.
Love you? I love you. I love you. I'm so tired. I like that. You didn't say it back. Oh, no.
Oh, okay, I love it. Bye, Mandy.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.